How are you?
Good.
Hello.
All right, so we do have quorum. Let me just make sure I recognize everybody. Okay, yep. So we can start whenever. Is everybody all set?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, welcome everyone. I will now call the December 17th, 2020 AOD Board of Directors meeting to order. It is approximately 6:02 p.m. I will recognize that we do have a quorum with board members Bishop Thomas. I'm sorry, yes, Bishop Thomas. Trying to read the names, they're cut off. Mrs. Holmes, Dr. Fletcher, and Mrs. Comegys, along with myself, Mr. Boynton. We also have our head of school, Dr. Marinucci, Mrs. Postles, Mrs. Backew, and Mrs. Hudson. I think I captured everybody. So without further ado, recognizing that we do have a quorum, I will now ask that everybody unmute themselves and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
Pledge of
allegiance
allegiance
to
to
the
the
flag
flag
of
of
the
the
United
United
States
States
of
of
America
America
and
and
to
to
the
the
Republic
Republic
for
for
which
which
it
it
stands,
stands,
one
one
nation,
nation
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
All right, thank you everyone. So, excuse me again. Everybody should have also received a copy of the minutes from our last board meeting in your email, but it is showing on the screen. Hopefully, everybody had a chance to look at those meeting minutes in advance, and then I will entertain. Put my glasses on, I apologize. I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes, and that was the November 20th Board of Directors meeting.
I so
I'm
moved.
sorry, I apologize,
I'm
November
sorry.
19th, for clarity's sake.
November. I so moved to approve the November 19th, 2020 Board of Directors minutes with any necessary corrections.
Second. All right, it's been moved by Bishop Thomas, seconded by Dr. Fletcher, that we approve the November 19th, 2020 Board of Directors meeting minutes with any necessary clarification or edits. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are approved. And now we will, I don't think we have any public comment. For this, I'll just say for the sake of comment, just want to thank Dr. Marinucci for keeping us posted. If you guys check your emails from time to time, she sends articles from the local paper in Delaware. And so just recently we saw that as some schools around the state were actually struggling with student retention and attendance issues, AOD is still moving in the right direction. So if you haven't had a chance to look at that article, please take a look at it, because it does show. And that's another great recruiting tool. As people are home, they have more time to read and look at what's happening in the news. So when things come back to get back to normal, hopefully very soon, they will remember that our numbers not only stabilized but grew in some cases, and they know the quality of instruction that their students can receive at AOD. So without further ado, I'll now ask for a financial report from Dr. Marinucci.
Okay, so this is the web funding report. This is the higher level view. And basically what it shows is the budgeted amount, the receipts to date, the percent received, and what we're anticipating receiving, if anything. So if you see a negative number, that means that that we've actually received more than we anticipated originally receiving. So a negative number on this part of the report is good. We are now working with the real budget. This is the finalized budget. This is showing us the actual amount that we're receiving for charter transportation, as well as for operations. I can't highlight that. Okay. If you remember in the past, operations and transportation were one item. Now they're broken out into two appropriations, so that is the way we're showing them. So if this were last year, you would see that 2653687 plus the 337485 as one appropriation. So it is broken down. We're looking at receiving a little over $1 million still from the state. For the transportation and operations funds, and that is used to basically pay our operations. It pays our staff, it pays our utilities, it pays different things such as that. So this money is really important money, and receiving the rest of it is definitely of great interest and importance to us. So we're regularly watching the receipt of funds. We're regularly watching where we are in our daily activity. There's a report we can run that gives us the breakdown every day. Ms. Hudson actually runs that report and looks at our money every day. I look at it quite regularly as well. We have daily conversations about where we are with our funds so that we're making sure that we're both kept on the same page with what's happening. The amount that we're still anticipating, we've received about 68.4% of our state funds. As far as the food service, we did reduce the amount that we're anticipating receiving to 100,000. It was 170,000. The 170,000, I think, would have been a better number had we actually had the school year continue in person. But with going remote, that definitely reduces the number of students getting lunch, and the way we earn money in this is students getting lunch. So we do have buses running. So we are running the buses on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on the normal bus route, just at a midday time. And we've made sure that our parents are all notified that should they want any food for any of their children, that they can get the food directly from us. At the bus stop, and if the bus stop is not convenient, they can actually come to the academy itself. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that our students do not go hungry. We know that many rely on the school lunch, and so we're making sure to put it out there for our families. We did receive an additional 1,100 in donations, which is why that number is a negative. And we're also looking to receive another, or we just received another $2,000 in donations towards our playground. So in total, we've received $3,000 in donations towards our playground. There was a special grant that we entered, and we received that provided us $3,000. So that was very exciting. And we're looking forward to what we can do with that money to enhance our playground further for our students. As far as our federal grants, we've received 100% of our federal funds. And so we are right now overall at 70.1% funds received. If you compare this report to the report last month, you'll see that our all funds total amount went up again. So because the amount we're receiving has continued to increase. So, and now we've got the real number with the unit count, so we know the exact amount we're receiving, both on the local side from the individual school districts as well as from the state side. So it's much more comforting once we have that finalized and we know that we're working with a real number rather than just trying to go with what we think is going to happen prior to the unit count happening. So you'll see that we have our budgeted items are all listed. Again, our contingency is at $712,979.39, which is an amazing number for a contingency amount. And then the unallocated amount is $78,575.35. So we're doing really good with getting our funds back up to where we have comfort in what we're doing. And again, you'll see that total operating budget amount. You'll see the total of expenditures that we've had. And if you note, we are pretty much under budget based on this point in the year in all of our categories, with a 30.7% budgeted amount, expended amount at this point. I do want to point out that we did receive a $750,000 charter expansion grant. We mentioned that at the last board meeting. That money has not yet been loaded. So the next report you see will likely have a budget that is $750,000 higher than what you're seeing now. So we will be in the $5 million budget, operating budget at that point. So we were hoping to have that money received by now, but it's just there's a few more things that need to happen in order for that money to be loaded to us. So we're looking for it. I'm being told that it should happen within the next few days. So I'm anticipating that by the next board report, we will be able to show that money in our account. And we're super excited about being able to show that money in our account. So this next report is the basic general operating budget funding report. This is that newer report that shows everything in one place. So you can look across at the appropriation, the description, the budget, the receipts to date, the percent received, what we're anticipating receiving, available funds, encumbrances, expenditures. The percent expended is in there because I want to be able to watch that as well. The balance and the end date. So truly, this is the report that I am most interested in watching, because it gives us the whole picture. And you'll see that there are a few places that you will see negative numbers. In this case, negative numbers are not a good thing. In this case, it means that we've expended more than we had in that expenditure line. However, all of these negative numbers have been reconciled at this point. It's a really bad timing with the way the report closes and then it gets released. It happens, and Ms. Hudson and I have been working to try and get it to where we're recoding things right before it happens so that we don't show these negatives. We just missed the date, I think, by one day on this one. So we have, Ms. Hudson has spent an inordinate amount of time going back through and recoding salaries to the proper lines. So when we're using old money and then switching over to the new money, you actually have to go in the system and you have to change it over in the appropriation, which is why you see the negatives that you do. While that should be a quite simple process, it is nothing but simple. She and I have sat together and I've watched the struggle of trying to get it through. And I'm telling you, if it could be any more complex, I'm not sure how they would make it more complex. You put it in and then it kicks back and then you try it. It's quite cumbersome. But Ms. Hudson did confirm during the CBOC meeting, we had talked earlier, and then she confirmed during the CBOC meeting that all of these negatives have been fixed. So we do not have any negative balances. And it's just a matter of funding salaries and then moving things over to the proper line, using up the money that's old and then moving into the newer money. So again, you'll see that food service amount is $100,000. That is in red, just to point that out, that was a pretty big change in the budget. As far as the percent expended, our expenditures are right on board with what we were looking for them to be. Actually, we're under, which is a great thing. So we're, again, at 30.5% expended. We have received 70.1% of our funds. And you can see the breakdown again at the bottom of this report. Whoops. So you can see it broken down into the larger category items. At this point in the year, we should be at 42% expended. So being at 30% expended is a really nice, comfortable place for me to be. With our money, I want to make sure we're as conservative as possible to make sure that we have no issues. This report shows the expenditure summary. So this shows to date what we've expended with the budget, how much we've expended, how much is remaining, and what percent has been expended. So you'll see that, that we are under the 42% mark in all categories. And this does take into account the recent salary change that happened. So we're still remaining under the budgeted amount. The only place that we've gone a little bit over would be in the medical related services. So that's psychologists and therapists, the special services work that's happening. And then also in the building maintenance. But we purchased some new equipment for Mr. Davis to be able to spray down the buildings and do things to keep us safe. And so those were initial expenses that happened at the beginning of the year. And then you can see again that we are custodial supplies were a little over, but again, we've been making sure. So one of the things that has been super important to us is that we don't run out of things. There are many schools around us that are running out of things. We ordered early, so we spent the money up front because you know darn well you're going to use the toilet paper, you're going to use the cleaning supplies, you're going to use the sanitizers. Those things are going to be used, and they're not going to go bad. So we made sure that we have in advance of what we need so that as we're getting things, we are not running low. We're just ordering to keep up with and maintain our stock with these items. Running out is definitely not a good place to be, so we've made sure to stay on top of that ordering, which is why that's a little expended higher than. And then textbooks, obviously the students needed the books to start the year, so that's a budget item that doesn't, we pretty much expend most of it at the beginning of the year, and then there's not much happening after that. We did just order, fortunately, we were able to add two more classrooms, so we have three classrooms in many of the grades now, and that required us, obviously, to have to add more textbooks. So there is another order that's hanging out there for textbooks that'll show up, but I would anticipate that we'll not go over the 100% because I think the last order we had was nowhere near the $4,600, so... and then we aren't looking to have to purchase anymore. So we're gonna stay under budget with the textbooks as well. And then again, you can see that summary. This is based on 329 students. If you remember, our max enrollment is 330, we're allowed to go 5% over. So we're actually allowed to have 344 students. Technically, on our e-school, we have 336 students right now, so we were quite excited to be over that 330 mark, and we are steadily getting charter school applications, choice applications coming in, so we're super excited. We have every reason to believe that we are going to be full and have to do a lottery this year, so that will be something exciting. And that is the end of that financial report. So does anyone have any questions about any of this?
I do have one question. This is just in light of the, I read the article that you sent today. It was just in light of, you know, one of the comments that you made. And I guess based on the people that we have now in our account and even your estimation that we're going to have, you know, more than enough for next year, I guess with that safeguard against the concerns with respect to the units, the number of units which determines the amount of funding that the school receives from year to year, because I recognize, I guess, some schools are having that fluctuation in the number of students, which would affect, I guess, funding. But I guess what you're saying is because we have the right number of students and our student population is steadily increasing and we have hopes for it to continue to do so, then that would safeguard against any, you know, funding concerns that we might have in the future, I guess, as it relates to, you know, COVID and just the economy in general.
Yeah, so to clarify, the Marinucci in that article was my husband, not me. So we are... like, it's confusing. And we both have doctorate degrees, so they refer to us both as Dr. Marinucci,
yes.
So it gets really confusing at times. Yeah, but so the traditional schools have a 98% guarantee, and that has been in place for quite a while. And it was actually somewhat shocking for me coming from that side and always knowing the 98% guarantee and not having it at the charter school, that was a little scary. So what is the 98% guarantee? What that says is when they do a spring snapshot, so in the middle of spring, they take a picture of what your unit count looks like. And you guys should be familiar with that, because that is also what is used to say that we are at the percentage that we need to be at to continue. So I know the Academy has had issues with the spring snapshot number, but on the traditional side, when they do the spring snapshot, if you had, like, let's say that in the spring snapshot, we had 329 students still enrolled, which is what we plan to have. Then we would be guaranteed to have the units for those 329 students. We would be guaranteed at 98% of the units for them. So just about all of the units guaranteed to you, to encourage you to do your early hiring and make sure that you can plan and prep so that you're not sitting there waiting for that September 30th unit count. You've got something to fall back on in case things go this way that they did for people this year. That is not so for the charters. There is no 98% guarantee. There is no guarantee at all. Ours is, we are the ones without any safety net. We are the ones having to say, we don't know. We're going to hire who we think we need. But if the numbers go down, then we may be having to tell people, I'm sorry, we can't keep you. Which is really unfortunate, and I would love to see some legislative change around that. But that's the game that we're playing right now. So we don't have that safety net beneath us, which makes it all the more important that we are realizing that our customers are our students and our families, and that we're providing the service that makes them want to stay. I will add that we had a number of families come to us new this year because we were in person and they wanted their child to be in person. And I have had conversations with just about every one of them, and they all have said there's no way they're leaving our academy as long as we have agreed to support their child. They are seeing the benefit of being in our academy. They are loving the experience they're having, which is awesome. That just is awesome. So, and they're telling others. We're actually still getting calls asking if we'll take another student. So I really feel like we have turned the corner. We cannot rest on that. We cannot let that just be our thing. We have to recognize that we still need to work really hard to keep that. But we are so in a different place than where we were a year ago. It's really awesome to have been part of seeing this happen.
Thanks.
All right, do we have any other questions on the budget?
Yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher.
We have a 712,979 contingency reserve. Where in the budget do we see the summer allocation for salary? Normally we put that in what we
post. That's a great question. So what we're looking at is we're able to, because we've expanded in many grades and not just for the sixth grade, and we are also in the process of putting together the application to submit again to go and grow into seventh and eighth grade. So, and I can tell you, we did a little survey with our families to find out their interest, and it was 100%. So every single one that responded was completely in support of and in favor of and wants their child to stay with us. I think most of them would like us to ask to go to 12th grade, but I don't think that would be in our best interest at this point. I think let's just try and go to 8th grade and go from there. We're working with the owner of the building for additional space, just as an aside, because you're probably thinking, where are we going to house these children? They actually have a building plan that they've drawn up, and they're going to the city of Dover to try and work through getting that. And so it will go back in where the white fence used to be in the back of the building. It'll be our upper school, and it would house our upper grades. So, but with adding extra students, there's additional costs to include desks, chairs, supplies, more Chromebooks that we're going to need for the students. And we definitely have a need for new smart boards. The smart boards we have in all of the classrooms are really on their last leg. So we've gotten a quote to get new smart boards. And really, I think the more we bring to our school and bring everything up to today's day and age and the most awesome technology you can have and just all of those kinds of things is going to entice more families to send their children to us. And when we take kids, when we take families around and tour them, they're very excited by what they see. And so just being able to provide more of that, more of the newer technology, and making sure that, you know, we're going to have to hire more teachers, which means we're going to need more of the Dell laptops. We're going to need, there's a lot of other expenses. And so we originally had written the grant with the intention of purchasing a relocatable unit to go out back. You can't purchase a building and you can't purchase a permanent structure, but you can purchase something like a relocatable structure. So we were trying to be creative with how we could still get what we needed and do it within the guidelines that are required. So we've been working with the charter school office on that, but those are some of the items that, we're looking at spending. You can't use it on staff for that new group, but you can use it for some of the money for some prep work that comes into the expansion. So we're really trying hard to stay, to kind of read the rules and make sure that we are asking to do the things that we are allowed to do, and make sure that the academy gets everything it needs to be completely sustainable and grow to be a K to 8 school.
Okay. Thank you. That doesn't address the question I thought I would. That takes care of how we're going to do something interesting.
Okay.
About the summer salary. Normally, have to set aside so much during the summer salary of people that are going to be working throughout the summer to serve that recovery program. I don't see that in the budget. It's normally usually in a footnote or the web report where we put that little phrase of how much funds that we have set aside to take care of that and make certain we meet that, that needed.
Yeah, so the, and I'm having a little bit of a hard time with my audio right now, so I think I heard you, but tell me if I missed what you said. So you're talking about the former footnote that we used to have that talked about that extra money that we had. We don't have that anymore because all of our money is listed in the documents you have. So there is no extra money. You're seeing everything we have now.
Okay, so I got that. So
is that what you were asking?
I'm talking about the money that we normally set aside for summer salary. We don't do that anymore. There's no one that will be working throughout the summer that we have to make certain that we have sufficient resources left over for that.
Yeah, you're talking about, I think you're referring to the reserve.
Yeah, we do have it. Yeah, it's in the reserve. So right here is that footnote. It's probably going to be a minute
delay
before
it comes up
on your computer.
That's what I'm talking about. So it is there.
But it's 347. Yeah, it's there. It's there.
Okay. Good.
And that money will come out of the contingency at this point? Yeah.
Okay. That was my total question. Thank you for all the other good stuff that you explained to me.
Okay. Yep. Okay, sorry, I heard a whole different question over here.
I think because Dr. Fletcher, your mic was really low when you were asking, so it was hard to hear.
Okay, no problem. I can pick up my mic. Okay, right, thank you.
Do we have any other questions on the budget from any of the other board members? All right, seeing, recognizing no other members have questions, thank you, Dr. Marinucci. I'll now entertain a motion to approve the budget as of, if you can go to the top of that, I'm sorry, I had mine pulled down. The FY 2021 budget as of November 20th. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I so move to approve the financial report FY 2021 as of November the 20th, pending any necessary corrections.
All right. Any second? Thank you. All right. It's been moved by Bishop Thomas, seconded by Mrs. Comiches, that we approve the financial report with any necessary changes or edits. All in favor? I'm sorry?
It was Ms. Holmes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was looking at Mrs. Comiches raised her hand. I saw her first.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't see her.
Yeah, with the little squares, I can only see so many faces at a time. I only have about three of them in front of me right now. All right, so it's been moved by Bishop Thomas and seconded by Mrs. Comiches and Mrs. Holmes that we approve the financial report. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. The motion carries without any nays. All right. We will now move on to the principal's report.
Okay. So, again, just to give you the update on our funding and enrollment, some of the numbers did change from what in terms of what we're receiving from the school districts. In change, it only went up, which was a great thing. So these are the final receivables for the school districts. They have started to submit their money to us, so we're looking forward to getting the remainder of that. The actual units did not change, so what you see displayed at the bottom of the screen is exactly where we were last board meeting when I provided you this information. It was really striking to me to look at the COVID update this meeting, because I started with the template that I had used from the last board meeting. So that information was sitting there, and I looked at the information today, and I don't know if you're able to see both, but I left the November up in the top corner, and then the current is the larger one. Just since our last board meeting, the new case rate per 100,000 people went from 216 to 591. And again, since our last board meeting, we went from 5.4 tests that are positive to 9.6. And hospitalizations was probably the most concerning one. It went from 12.9 to 35 for average daily hospitalizations. It's definitely concerning with COVID right now. We have had some staff test positive. We've had some staff that have tested positive and had no symptoms, and we've had others that have been pretty ill. One was hospitalized for a short time. So, that person's husband is still hospitalized, and they were actually not sure if he was going to make it for a period of time. So there have been a lot of hugs, a lot of tears, a lot of prayers. There's been a lot of hope for this to be resolved at some point soon. But I will say that I am quite confident in our decision to be fully remote at this point, because listening to the last update, Kent County is getting hit really hard right now. Kent County actually has the highest increase in hospitalizations out of all three counties right now. So they're seeing more people, and just based on my short experience in the emergency room this week in Dover, they had made hospital beds and rooms outside of real rooms in the ER. So they are out of space, and they are using hallway spaces right now for people to permanently reside while they're in the ER. It was definitely an eye-opening experience for me to go in the back of the hospital and see that part. I talked to one of the nurses, and she said that in Dover at Kent, they're seeing between 60 and 70 patients at any point in time in the waiting room in the ER, and that it has been like that for a while. You know, it's been amping up like that. And she said that there's a lot of the nurses and staff that are having to quarantine. They were able to keep the COVID patients in one spot prior, but now they're not able to do that because it's so widespread. So There's definitely some people that have no symptoms, but there's definitely other people that are not as fortunate. So we're making sure that we're keeping safe. We have given the staff the option of working in the building or working remotely. And whether they're working in the building or remotely, it is so clear that they're doing an amazing job for our students. We've got parents that are reaching out and just saying thank you, and that they appreciate all of the way that our staff is responding to their needs. So, and if somebody's not able to get through with a parent, then somebody else picks it up and we work with the parent. Mr. Jones, our behavior interventionist, has been delivering things to those of our families that don't have the ability to drive to the academy to pick things up or to go to a bus stop. So we are doing everything to make sure that our students get what they need and also keep everyone as safe as possible. So, but I was really taken aback when I saw the change that's just happened over the past couple of weeks, because we're a week early for our board meeting. So it was really only 3 weeks ago that this update was made. So we're watching this, the data. I'm having weekly Zoom conferences with our families that choose to tune in. We're doing the morning meetings live or through the computer every morning with the kids, and it's awesome. It is really awesome to see as many students as there are that pop on. It's so cute. They love to say the pledge with everyone. And they love to, I mean, we're trying to make it as normal as we can in a very abnormal time. Their favorite part is when I do the 1, 2, 3 and they all yell out, AOG is the place for me. We have kids that actually type it into the chat box, and everyone, I mean, it's really cute when you get on, you hear all the kids saying good morning to one another and they're typing things good morning to one. It's just we definitely have that village and that community going, and it's carried on even while we're not in the building. So it's a pretty awesome thing. So again, we have the costume. I just kind of left this in here because he was just too cool. But that's really the extent of my board report. I think I've given you the other pieces of the update through the financial report, because really it all kind of ties together. But does anyone have any questions outside of that?
Nice mascot.
We love the mascot. I can't wait to have the kids in the building. It was so sad when it arrived right after we went remote.
Thank you, Dr. Fletcher. Mrs. Holmes, did you have a question? I didn't know if I'm looking at the right hand go up. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. My son came in. I was telling him I was in.
Gotcha. All right. Do we have any other questions on the principal's report? All right. Thank you, Dr. Marinucci. We will now move on to the teacher's report. If you could just put the agenda back up. I'm sorry, Dr. Marinucci. Thank you. I'll now recognize Miss.
It should be coming.
Yep, it's there.
There we go.
Oh no, that's the those are the meeting minutes, I think. No, that's that. All right, I'll now recognize Mrs. Comedy.
I don't really have much to report from the last meeting because it was 3 weeks ago. But we're just, you know, fully remote, adapting, going into the school when necessary, making packets, staying in contact with parents and families, trying to, like you said, make this normal or make this, you know, doable for everybody in some way, shape, or form. We're working with mentoring. We're still working on that. Obviously, that's a year-round thing. So other than that, I really don't have anything different to report. We're all just trying our best.
thank you, Dr. I'm sorry, Mrs. Comedies. And please extend, again from the board, I'm so used to saying Dr. Marinucci, please extend to the teachers from the
promotion.
Please extend our gratitude and a message of happy holidays, if you could. We hope that everybody obviously continues to stay safe and healthy, but we appreciate all their efforts. And to Mr. Jones as well for going out to the families. And I know everybody here. I think part of being a teacher is that you're not just in the classroom ever. So the dedication you guys show to our families, we want to recognize that as well, because I know we live in a small community, and you're a teacher 24 hours a day, not just while you're in that classroom. So please extend that gratitude.
Thank you. I think
Dr. E had to jump off because he had another board meeting. So we'll table the PTO report at this time. And while we're on it, I'll just make sure that everybody has the date. I just looked, it should be January 21st for the next CBOC and board meeting. If we could note that on your schedules, I believe that's the fourth Thursday in January. So it's January 21, 2021, for our next CBO and our next board meeting.
You said January the 20th or the
21st?
21st. Okay, 21st. Okay.
Correct. January 21st will be the next CBOC and board meeting. And I want to just say to everybody, now that we've come to the end of our meeting, just hope everybody has a safe, healthy holiday. Stay in as much as you can. Keep your masks on. If you got to go out, social distance as best you can. And to Dr. Marinucci, a special message. I know this week was tough for you. I said in the CBOC, I gave Dr. Marinucci direct orders not to join us tonight for the board meeting. But she is a trooper and a warrior. In spite of back issues, she is here all the time to serve AOD. So thank you, Dr. Marinucci, and thank you for putting together the financial report. But we want you to take care of yourself, because we can't have you going out for an extended period of time. So your health is important. So. And for everybody,
I have no desire.
For everybody, take the time during the break to, you know, do a just get some you time, some me time for yourselves to relax. Just want to wish everybody happy holidays and a prosperous new year. Hopefully 2021 will be our comeback. That's all I have. I don't know if any other board members want to say anything before we break.
Merry Christmas.
Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. I'll now entertain a motion to adjourn. I'm going to say.
I can't be away from tonight.
I'll recognize
this.
Miss Dobbs, I've been staring at
you. Mrs. Holmes, you got it.
I give her the benefit of doubt. It's been moved by Mrs. Holmes and seconded by Bishop Thomas.
I move something tonight.
Yes.
That we adjourn at 6:45 p.m. on December 17th, 2020, the AOD board.